chirongwa chedu chanhasi. Tinoimba kuti muchange muine zvakare mangwana anokoenekaya nemufaro. Ndini Jonga Kandemiri, ndiri muWashington, ndokusiyai muina Marvelous Musanganya uye achikupai nhau murirumi rwechirungu.
Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, August 24th, 2014. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye. Amongst our top stories this evening, Amnesty International accuses President Robert Mugabe of denying millions of Zimbabweans their basic human rights a year after taking office. The Grain Millers Association of Zimbabwe says the threat by milling industry to go on strike next month if the 4.8 salary increment proposed in the 2014 collective bargaining agreement is not met may force some employers to cut staff.
We wanted a pay decrement. But after seeking legal advice, we later resorted to only a 10% increment. So we can't go beyond 0%.
Zimbabwe's Health Minister David Parerenyatwa issues a travel alert warning Zimbabweans not to travel to West African countries that have been hit by the deadly Ebola virus.
Anybody whom we are picking up having come from Liberia, Nigeria, Guinea or Sierra Leone, we put them on surveillance for 21 days and check on them on a daily basis.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. Amnesty International has accused President Robert Mugabe of denying millions of Zimbabweans their basic human rights a year after taking office. Speaking to the Zimbabwean newspaper, Amnesty International Deputy Director Noel Kututwa accused President Mugabe of failing to introduce legislation that aligns with the new constitution. Kututwa said the president had yet to align the country's laws with the new constitution and public order. Security and criminal laws are being used to deny people their rights to freedom of expression, association and peaceful assembly. Studio 7 was, however, unable to reach Mr. Kututwa for a comment on the issue. In an update of the Mandela Young African Leaders Fellows, we hear from a fellow who shot to fame after securing an interview with U.S. President Barack Obama at the U.S. Africa Leaders Summit at the beginning of the month in Washington.
My name is Tafunde Chingonzo. I am a Mandela Washington Fellow. I'm currently on my internship. I'm in Berkeley, California, and it's been quite amazing here.
Tell us a little bit about this fellowship following your huge interview with President Barack Obama. How are you settling in?
I'm interning at a venture capital firm, a VC firm called Base Ventures. It's based here in Berkeley. And it's been an intensive learning process, shall I say, learning how startups get funding here, how they pitch to investors, things that investors are looking for. And I think these are things that we need to learn as people are trying to start up in Africa. And this is really the reason why I feel that this fellowship has been very effective, because I'm learning things that I'm going to take back home in the next few weeks and start implementing, you know, in teams that I'm working with and on as well.
And also, we understand you had an opportunity to meet with some Zimbabwean executives at Google. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, that was, you know, very amazing. It was interesting to meet people from home, you know, who are working here in large corporates in different sectors, and to see how passionate they are about growing our ecosystem back home. The usual assumption is that people, they forget about where they came from, but it was, you know, exciting to talk about how we can benefit and leverage from their relationships here, you know, to make sure that we back at home are growing at a rate that is sustainable, that we are creating products that will actually see the light of day, that will grab the attention of the international market and make sure that Zimbabwe is, as we know it is, you know, a viable investment destination. So we learned a lot, and, you know, the relationships that I'm building with these entities, I think we're going to benefit from that quite a lot. And I think that's the other aspect of the Mandela Washington Fellow as well, you know, growing your network and becoming a resource on that network.
What word of advice would you have for other youth in Zimbabwe who are perhaps thinking of taking up this Mandela Fellowship next time it's on the cards?
The first thing is, I can assure you that it's based on stuff that you are already doing. You know, you can't apply for a fellowship with ideas. I mean, of course, they also consider ideas, but I would advise people to start working on their passions, to start exploring what they can do, to take the risks within, you know, that they're comfortable taking, and even some that are just outside their comfort zone, to ensure that they start, you know, effecting change. You don't just come here to grow yourself as an individual and your business, but it's about creating the next future young African leaders. And so you have to have a vision that is bigger than yourself. It has to impact your community, your society, you know, your country, and then, you know, in the long term, the region as a whole. So people need to start working, and they need to start working now.
That was Mandela Young Fellow Takunda Chingonzo, a young Zimbabwean who shot to fame after landing an interview with U.S. President Barack Obama during the U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit in Washington early this month. He was speaking to us from San Francisco in California. The Grain Millers Association of Zimbabwe says that the threat by the milling industry to go on strike next month if the 4.8% salary increment proposed by the 2014 collective bargaining agreement, citing government's directive to peg maize prices at $390 per ton, is not met, may force some employers to cut staff. The General Secretary of the United Food and Allied Workers Union of Zimbabwe, Adonia Mutero, told a press conference that employers in the sectors have declared they would not give workers salary increments unless the government reduced the producer price of maize, which is now pegged at $390 per ton. Musarara, however, warned that such a move may be fatal as the industry is struggling and may result in major staffing cuts. Studio 7's Junga Kandemiri speaks to Musarara on the issue.
There was never been a commitment by the employer on any indicative salary increment. In fact, our initial position was that given that the current difficulties of employers to pay the current wages, which some are lagging behind their 3-6 months, we wanted a pay decrease, a pay decrement. But after seeking legal advice, we later resorted to only a 10% increment. So we can't go beyond 0% because we are still currently struggling to pay that. However, if the employees want to go on strike, it is their democratic right, their constitutional right, but it's also going to give us a golden opportunity to trim some of the employees.
What reasons are you giving for not awarding them these increments?
There is a liquidity problem. There is issues of very low capacity utilization. Number four companies are now under judicial management. That should tell you the performance of the milling industry. And I think it cuts across other industries. So we definitely can't afford to pay more whilst we are failing to pay the current salary.
How bright is the milling industry's future?
Well, I can't say. We put it in the hands of God. The situation is very tough. We are fighting big war on imports. And it's unfortunate that the labor has not been joining us in the lot of banning of imports into the country that end up killing our industry.
That was the Grain Millers Association of Zimbabwe Chairman Tafadzwa Musarara speaking to Studio 7's Junga Kandemiri in Harare. Zimbabwe's Health Minister David Parerenyatwa issued a travel alert Wednesday warning Zimbabweans not to travel to West African countries that have been hit by the deadly Ebola virus. Zimbabwean Christians has over the years been traveling to countries like Nigeria to visit preachers like T.B. Joshua in search of spiritual healing. The outbreak in Liberia, Sierra Leone, Guinea and Nigeria is the biggest Ebola epidemic to date. The World Health Organization Wednesday said the overall death toll had risen to 1,229.
We are alert to the threat that is there in terms of Ebola, and we have put as much readiness as we can, especially in terms of international travel screening at our international airport. Anybody whom we are picking up having come from Liberia, Nigeria, Guinea, or Sierra Leone, we put them on surveillance for 21 days and check on them on a daily basis. And unless it's really, 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 really necessary, we are saying for the time being, please don't go there. You are aware that it is not airborne and it is really so fluid. And urging our populations to continue to be vigilant, wash their hands as often as they can.
The Zimbabwean nationals, what should they be on the lookout for?
Flu-like symptoms. temperature, runny nose, sore throat, sometimes diarrhea and vomiting. If you have those symptoms and you've generally been in Zimbabwe, we think that it will be our normal flus. But if you have that package of symptoms and have been to any one of those particular countries, then we have a very high sense of suspicion and then we isolate you.
That was Health Minister Dr. David Parirnyatwa in Harare. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 4940, and 15455 shortwave frequencies, and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. And now we go to the Youth Forum with Tsatsenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by someone who regularly joins me on the Youth Forum. That is Glanis Changa Chirere. Glanis, thank you so much for joining me today.
You are welcome, Tatenda, and thanks for having me.
We understand your organization recently had a meeting in MASH Central to speak to provincial officers on the issue that young women are facing in that area. Can you tell us what exactly this was about?
Yeah, we had a meeting where we were discussing about the current situation of social services in particularly in Shamba District in Mashonaland Central Province. And we were talking about three basic services, that is primary health care, water and sanitation.
What are some of the key things that came out that young women themselves were saying they're facing in Mashonaland Central when it comes to these issues that you're pointing out, primary health care, water and sanitation?
The most critical problems really were issues to do with the kind of service that young women get when they go to hospitals. You know, there's one big hospital in the district, in Shamba District. However, this district is always faced with challenges of lack of proper treatment and proper care. And as a result, young women keep on losing lives when they're pregnant or when they take their young ones there, they are not attended to in time and eventually, you know, die. And so the young women were really complaining about the need for government to really ensure that there are proper, you know, supplies in terms of medication, and also to emphasize on the need for proper treatment and proper handling by hospital staff, because they highlighted that there are serious attitude problems with the staff at the hospital. The other issue is the issue of water. You know, in Shamba District, there is a big mine called Maziva Mine. And so this mine, over time, has actually polluted the water in the district to the extent that 1,000 meters deep down, the water is all polluted by cyanide. And as a result, when communities dig up wells, they are digging up wells but find water that is contaminated with cyanide. And there is a nearby school that has actually lost teachers, which is Maziva Primary School. It has lost teachers over decades because the teachers, they have no access to clean water, to proper water. So the children are losing out, the parents are losing out, and the young women particularly are also having serious challenges in terms of walking very long distances, you know, to go and look for clean water.
Focusing on the issue of primary health care, we know, of course, in some rural communities, women or young women themselves too, as you pointed out, are having issues in accessing some important needs, mainly issues of contraceptive. What were the women saying when it comes to that particular aspect?
Yes. It's one of the issues really that we raised in the meeting, where the young women are saying they are failing to access family planning contraceptives from the hospital. And when they eventually access them, these pills are sold to them and at different prices, and they do not actually get receipts to ensure that the selling is legal. So there's a big challenge where the hospital is really failing to provide the contraceptives free of charge and consistently to the young women in these communities. And that is really resulting in a challenge of, unwanted pregnancies among the young women. And also considering, you know, they are in a status where they cannot really take care of themselves. It's really a burden to the young women.
And moving forward after this meeting, what do you think now will happen? Because a lot of times, you might meet with provincial officers, you might meet with government officials, but then once they're gone, the community continues to still face some of these issues. What's next?
Yeah, I think I can safely say practical solutions really were discussed during this meeting in terms of way forward, where for some of the problems, like the issue of attitude with hospital staff, the district administrator actually said she acknowledged she was not aware of that situation, but would really love it handled ASAP. And as a result, there was an agreement to call for a meeting with the Minister of Health and the hospital staff, the local councillor, and some young women representatives really to discuss about this issue. And the meeting was scheduled for the 28th of August. So we are quite hopeful that at this meeting they're actually going to be able to resolve some of the challenges that the young women expressed they are facing. And secondly, on the issue of water, there was an agreement that it needs to look for possible alternatives. Perhaps the local council needs to look at possible sites where they can actually, you know, look at, consider to drill boreholes. And then if the council itself cannot provide for the financial cost to do this, they need to be able to mobilize the people in the community. They also need to take advantage of organizations like the Institute for Young Women Development, really to provide the necessary labor in terms of the constituents that we have and ensure that at least some boreholes are drilled where people can access clean water in this community.
Glenys, I want to thank you, as usual, for joining me on the Youth Forum.
Thank you very much, Tatenda, for having me as well.
You were listening to the Youth Forum. That was Glenys Changachirere of the Institute of Young Women Development. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and make sure you join me next time.
This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. And in sports news, the Dynamo's football fans are calling for the team's management to come clean on the financial issues affecting the club with over 7 million supporters.
The problem about the financial challenges in Dynamo at the moment is everybody's guess and worry, especially if you are a committed Dynamo fan or if you've got the genes for Dynamo. Because you see, the salaries are paid by Banga ABC. I think the club chairman, Kenny Mbaiwa, should honestly come out in the open and clarify to the multitude of Dynamo fans, those in Mondoro, those in Cholocho, those in Wange, they should know where they get taking the money which these players are winning through the cups they've been winning of late is going, so that everybody really knows. Because Banga ABC are paying salaries and most of the fans are paying towards these games. Everybody is worried where the money is going. But if you can't pay $70, the winning bonus.
That was Dynamo's fan Fabian Mahembe in Harare. Meanwhile, club chairman Kenny Mubaiwa says he's happy with the team's performance so far despite the financial challenges facing the club. Dynamos is currently on the top of the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League log despite its players earlier threatening to boycott play.
I'm happy because as the champions, that's where we are supposed to be. And this time around, we are on top and we are definitely going to win the league. So I'm happy with it.
But some of your fans have been calling on you as the chairman to be upfront about why the club is having so many financial challenges when you have a big fan base. And then some of your fans just wanted you to highlight how much exactly you get from the gate takings, which is not meeting your needs as a club.
On each camp, we get an average of $18,000, which is not sufficient to meet our needs.
Where does the rest of the money go?
FIFA takes 6%, SRC takes 6%, PSL takes 12%, City Council 20%. That's almost 65% of the gate taking. Also, the ZRP, all the service providers, we're looking at about 65%.
How do you think you're going to resolve this financial issue?
We are urging our supporters to buy membership cards. That's the only way to raise funds for the club. We've launched a membership card where we're hoping that the 7 million supporters that we have would buy membership card at $5. But they are not buying those membership cards.
That was Dynamo's chairman Kenny Mubaiwa in Harare. And now to recap on today's top stories. Amnesty International accuses President Robert Mugabe of denying millions of Zimbabweans their basic human rights a year after taking office. And Zimbabwe's Health Minister David Parirenyatwa issues a travel alert warning Zimbabweans not to travel to West African countries that have been hit by the deadly Ebola virus. That was the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, August 24th, 2014. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.